Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's having a beautiful start to this Feast of Pentecost. I'd like to say hello to all those who are on our webcast today. Welcome here with us. Brethren, we are commanded to be present before God on this very special day. It's a day that's been set aside by God Himself. We've been given the privilege to worship before Him, before them. We are here to rehearse this annual Holy Day and all that it pictures. We are here to remember how this day fits into the wonderful plan that God has set in motion for all human beings, all of us sitting in this room. Here on this Feast of Pentecost, it is important for us to focus on the meaning. Focus on all that God says about this day. And we've already started that process through other messages. We know that God has explained this holy day to us in different ways. He said many different things regarding this day. This day is also called in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Feast of Harvest. So there's a harvest involved. It's called the Day of First Fruits. So we know there's first fruits within a harvest that is involved. And we also know that it's called in the Old Testament the Feast of Weeks, which Mr. Daniel covered somewhat in the sermonette, the counting of these weeks, and then the day after being Pentecost. We know it is on this day of Pentecost that it was called during the New Testament, that when the church began. That's something very, a wonderful blessing that He has provided all of us. It was on this day in Pentecost in 31 AD that He began the church. It's attached to this wonderful day. We know that God gave His Holy Spirit to His church members to be a helper to us within the church of God. A wonderful blessing. A need, a must that we must have as individuals. We can see in the Bible how there is a harvest and there is first fruits that are tied to this day that we've already discussed. Brethren, we are called first fruits in the Bible. Human beings that are called by God, given His Spirit, being part of the church, we are considered first fruits right now. We understand that we have been called to be a part of a smaller first fruit harvest of human beings. Not of grain. A first fruit harvest of human beings to enter the kingdom of God. We have been called to mature as a spiritual plant that represents in that physical barley and that physical wheat that was part of that smaller harvest back in Judea around Jerusalem. As a spiritual plant, that seed's been given to us. We are to mature, we're to develop, we're to produce godly fruit to the point that we can be harvested into God's family, into the kingdom of God. What a tremendous blessing. This day, a portion of this day, teaches us. We are to be harvested as first fruits before the larger harvest of human beings that's represented by the fall holy days. Just thousands in the smaller harvest of human beings up until Jesus Christ's return, all the way back through all the Old Testament men and ladies that were given God's Spirit. After Jesus Christ returned forward, there's going to be billions of human beings harvested into the kingdom of God. We are the first fruits, very small, spiritual harvest. On this day, we could cover many different things, but today I would like to primarily focus on the first fruit harvest. As we mentioned earlier, this day is described in different ways. We know one of the ways that it is described is this smaller first fruit harvest that occurred in Judea in an agricultural sense, but it was an analogy of something more important, of a spiritual sense. If you'd like a title for this sermon, the title is simply The First Fruit Harvest. The First Fruit Harvest. Let's begin by reading a few scriptures that show the different names that was given to this day in the Old Testament. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, and we're going to see that Pentecost is what it was called in the New Testament, but here it's called the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labor. Let's read it here. Exodus 23, beginning in verse 14. Mr. Zollner mentioned the three seasons in the year. The spring, Passover, unleavened bread is that first season. Pentecost, the middle season. And then trumpets, tabernacles, and the last great day, that last season. But it's in the middle of these three seasons talked here where he talks about Pentecost. Verse 14, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. Then the second season, this is talking about today, and this is what I'm wanting to get to. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. So here it's calling this specific day the Feast of Harvest. And then it goes on to talk about the third season after that. There is a harvest involved in that is attached to the meaning of this day. We also see first fruits mentioned here that is attached to this day. We can also see this day described as the Feast of Weeks. In Numbers 28 and verse 26, we won't turn there, I'm going to quote it for you. This is where it talks about it being named the Feast of Weeks. Also on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Eternal, at your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. So in this verse, this day is called the Day of the First Fruits, as well as the Feast of Weeks. Each name has a purpose in describing this day. In Jerusalem area, in Judea, back around Jerusalem, back in the day the Bible was written, there were two annual harvest seasons. One in the spring, very small harvest of crops, barley and wheat. Barley was earlier, then wheat was part of this smaller harvest. But all the rest of the crops were harvested in the fall. Much larger harvest, physical harvest in the fall. This first is a small spring harvest, which follows the winter rains. It was in the spring. It begins on the day of the wave sheaf offering and ends on this day of Pentecost. 50 days, just as we've already heard today. It counted 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks. And then the day after that 7th week was this day. The physical crop was harvested during the 50 days. That was a smaller physical harvest that occurred back then. The second, back then, in agricultural terms, was a larger fall harvest. It began in the early fall, in the fall area. It ended with the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Other festivals that God had placed as part of His plan for human beings. God uses these two physical harvest seasons to picture something very special for human beings in His plan for man. The smaller first fruit harvest represented the created human beings that God would work with before Jesus Christ's return at that seventh trumpet blast. From that seventh trumpet blast, when Christ returns, everyone before that will be considered a part of that smaller harvest. Just thousands. That might sound a lot, but not compared to the billions of human beings in the fall. That larger harvest in the fall represented the created human beings that God would work with after Jesus Christ's return. During the millennium that the Feast of Tabernacles pictures, and also that last great day period, billions of human beings would be harvested into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. We've already been there today. Probably will be there again, who knows, in other messages this afternoon. Here we're going to read about this day, this Feast of Pentecost. Leviticus 23, let's begin reading in verse 9. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. So here's instructions from God, and God is telling Moses to relay this specific information to his people. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and reap its harvest. So there's going to be barley and wheat in the field already. And they're going to have to reap its harvest. There's instructions by God on how to do it, specifically. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. There's a lot of detail to the wave sheaf offering. But a small portion of grain, stalks of grain, was to be taken out. There was a process of preparing it. It was prepared into a dry measure of an omer. And it was presented and given to the priest. And the priest in an offering would elevate this omer, this sheaf, to God to be accepted by him. In a physical term, in a physical grain was done in this way. The sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Verse 11. He shall wave this sheaf or elevate this omer or this sheaf before the Eternal to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it or elevate it. So if you put all the scriptures together, we know we're talking about the day after the Sabbath within the days of unleavened bread is when that wave sheaf offering was to be done. Verse 12, and you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf or elevate the omer, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Eternal. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Eternal for a sweet aroma, and drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. So there was going to be other things involved as part of this wave sheaf offering given. But verse 14, you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. So God specifically said, you're not to touch the barley and the wheat in the field at all until this offering is to be done. You're not to take any of it out to make bread. You're not to take any of it out to be dry roasted. You're not to take any fresh grain out of the field. Not until this wave sheaf offering is presented to God. It had to be done before the harvest could begin. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and in generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks, hence the Feast of Weeks. Its 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Eternal. You shall bring on that 50th day from your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Eternal. So in our agricultural terms, this harvest was to begin on the day after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. An offering was presented to God to be accepted by Him. Once that occurred, they were able to harvest the rest of the barley and the wheat in the field. And it was to be over that 50th day. They were told to make 2 wave loaves of leavening. It was brought to the priest. Once again, an offering was given to be accepted by God. Verse 18, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. And there was other things. Then down to verse 20. The priest shall wave or elevate these 2 loaves, shall elevate them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Eternal, along with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Eternal for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So at the end, there was to be 2 loaves that represented the first fruits of this smaller harvest. It was first fruit harvest of the larger harvest of all the crops of the year. Only barley and wheat was harvested. It was a first fruit harvest. Here we clearly see a harvest being described with this day of Pentecost, with this Feast of Weeks, this Feast of the Harvest, this day of first fruits. God has established His holy days in conjunction with 2 annual harvests during the year. God uses these 2 harvest seasons as a pattern for the 2 spiritual harvests in God's plan for man. All human beings will not enter God's family at the same time. There's going to be a smaller first fruit harvest of human beings first. Then later, the rest of the billions of human beings will be harvested. We also see here first fruits that are mentioned. So what do we see described here? Let's summarize here what we have just read in Leviticus 23. We see here a wave sheaf offering that the priest presented before God and accepted by God. It was to be presented before God on the day after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Something extremely important for you and me. What it represents. We see that the harvest could not even begin until that wave sheaf was presented to God. All of that grain would have just died in the field. It would have withered without the offering being offered first. We see here a first fruit harvest, which was very small compared to the larger fall harvest. We see instructions here of counting 7 Sabbaths or counting 50 days to get to a holy convocation, this specific holy day. On that 50th day, the priest was to present 2 wave loaves. These wave loaves represented the first fruits. This 50th day was a holy convocation. It was set apart by God. Very special that we are to come before God every single year to rehearse many of the attachments to this day that He gives to us. We can read from the Bible that Jesus Christ represented that wave sheaf offering. He was resurrected and was presented to God for his acceptance. Brethren, if Christ did not succeed, there would not be us. If he didn't succeed with the work that God the Father gave him to do, to be the sacrifice that shows in Passover, if he wasn't resurrected to life and be elevated to be accepted by the Father, without that, the rest of the harvest could not happen. Extremely important, the role that Jesus Christ took on that wave sheaf offering. If you remember, Mary Magdalene wanted to come and touch him. He said, "No, I have not ascended to my Father yet." He had to ascend to his Father to be accepted as this wave sheaf offering. The small human being harvest could not even begin, brethren. We wouldn't even be thought about. We would have no chance. We would just die in the field. After Christ was accepted, now the harvest could begin. The possibility of it can begin for the first time. The human beings that God works with up until Jesus Christ's return will be a part of that smaller first fruit harvest of human beings. God gave His Holy Spirit to each one of them, working with them individually, as far as the church collectively as well. The two wave loaves that were presented to the Father on that day of Pentecost back then represent us, the first fruits. We're small harvests compared to the billions in the future. We will be presented to God for His acceptance. As far as the timing goes, at the seventh trumpet blast that's represented on the day at the Feast of Trumpets. The days of unleavened bread picture a lifetime coming out and crossing that Red Sea out of spiritual Egypt. Well, not out of spiritual Egypt yet. This day of Pentecost pictures 50 days. And on the 50th day, we're to be presented to God. But the timing of resurrection, we know from the Bible, is on the seventh trumpet blast, represented by the Feast of Trumpets. We've been given the opportunity, brethren, to be first fruits of all the human beings that will be a part of the kingdom of God. Let's read in the Bible where these first fruits are clearly called human beings. Let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to read here how God helps us grow through His truth so that we might be a first fruit of His creation, of His creatures, or of His created human beings. James 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will, of God the Father's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures," or of His created human beings. It's part of His plan. He's the one that calls each one of us individually. He's the one that initiates that invitation to us. We make that commitment at baptism and that Holy Spirit is given. Now we can understand. Now we can put the pieces of the puzzle together. And He brings us forth by the word of truth, it says here. Here we are called, or human beings are called, the first fruits of His created human beings. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, where first fruits are discussed here. Here it's called that the first fruits are called the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. I did not specifically say that back in Leviticus, which I should have, but the two wave loaves was to be first fruits to God, it says in Leviticus 23, concerning those two wave loaves. Here, it shows that we are to be first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb, Jesus Christ, standing on Mount Zion, and with him along his side, 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads." We're going to see these are human beings. These are the first fruits. These are the ones that have already been harvested. They have the Father's name already written on their foreheads. They're standing there with Jesus Christ. Verse 2. "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps." Can you imagine the atmosphere that was surrounding at that time of this description? The loud heavenly voices going on. This beautiful music throughout. Then verse 3, "And they," the 144,000, "sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." These 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. They were human beings. They were bought with a price. The price of Jesus Christ's life is blood. We were redeemed. Verse 4. "These are the ones who were not defiled with women." They didn't commit spiritual adultery. They stayed true to God's truth. "For they are virgins, spiritual virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb." Here these human beings are called the first fruits. We are part of that smaller first fruit harvest of human beings. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read here that Jesus Christ is called the first fruits. He was the first fruit of the first fruits. We've already seen that us as human beings are called first fruits. But let's read here what it has to say about Jesus Christ and us. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." When was he risen from the dead? At the beginning of the harvest, right? That wave sheaf offering. He was elevated, ascended to his Father at that time. "Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Very important statement here. A couple of things. This scripture ties the resurrection to first fruits. At Jesus Christ's resurrection, it calls him first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, which we are also first fruits. He's the first of the first fruits, or the first fruit of the first fruits. But it ties a resurrection to it. And we can put the scriptures together. He was our forerunner. We're going to follow. We also will have a resurrection or a changing in the twinkling of an eye. Verse 21. "For since by man," lowercase m, talking about Adam, "for since by man came death," because of the sin that was committed, "by man," capital M, "also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, Even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Those human beings that were described by the 144,000 that will be by his side. We can understand that Jesus Christ was that wave sheaf offering, and he became that first of the first fruit. He made it possible for the first fruit to have a harvest, that we could be resurrected and have life into the kingdom of God. God called a few human beings during the Old Testament, more so a person at a time, no multiples. He didn't call ancient Israel as a group. He called specific people for his specific purpose that he needed them to do during the Old Testament. He gave them his spirit so they could fulfill that purpose. Something changed when it came to 31 AD. Very special year when Jesus Christ died. He died. There was only one God being alive when he was in the tomb. He was resurrected from the dead. He was elevated and ascended to the Father to be accepted by the Father. What did he tell them? Stay here. 50 days from now, the Helper's going to come. He says, you need that. I need to go away so you receive that Helper. Something very special began in the New Testament with the church and with God's Spirit. God began to call people out of the world in more of multiples to intertwine them together. He didn't do that in the Old Testament. This was something new that he did beginning in 31 AD on this day of Pentecost. He gave the church members his Holy Spirit and began to work with them in a very, very special way. Without that Holy Spirit, we have nothing. Extremely important. Without Christ, we have nothing. Without God's Holy Spirit, we have nothing. We're not even his children, the Bible says. So let's stop here for a second and consider a few things. I think we have seen that a small harvest of human being is attached to the meaning of this day. I think we have seen that. As we consider what we must do as those spiritual barley plants, those spiritual wheat that is in the field, the wave sheaf offering's already been given. Christ has already ascended to the Father and has been accepted by the Father. Looking at us as these spiritual plants, it's mind-boggling to consider and to meditate what it's going to take of us puny human beings to mature from a seedling, to grow, mature, develop fruit that we're prepared for harvest. It can be overwhelming at times. What we have to face in this world, it can be extremely overwhelming. We have already concluded that we cannot do it by ourselves. We wouldn't even have an opportunity if it wasn't for what Jesus Christ has done, both representing Passover as well as the wave sheaf. We wouldn't even have an opportunity. We cannot do anything on our own. We can understand the analogy using this agricultural system in Judea, the analogy of being a spiritual plant that must grow and develop. We talk about that a lot, of how we need to mature and grow, change, submit to God's instructions, submit to God's commandments, to take on His character. So many of these attachments or these names, statements, are referring to the maturing, the growing, the developing of fruit of a spiritual plant that is to be harvested. We've all concluded that we cannot accomplish this on our own. Of and by ourselves, we are a hunk of junk, trash, a piece of dirt. What God is doing in His plan for man is tremendous. And we need to see the value in it. We will hurt at times. We're going to go through trials. It's going to be overwhelming. There's a purpose. We're growing. We're maturing. We're developing through the process. For the remainder of this sermon, I would like to describe how God has provided everything that we need to mature, to develop, to produce the fruit in God's eyes, ready for harvest. He provides us everything. We are along for the ride. He provides us everything. God has given us three very important things to help us accomplish this goal. The first thing that God the Father has given us has placed Jesus Christ in a position as our teacher and our provider. Mr. Foster had his sermon yesterday talking about Jesus Christ as a husband to the church, how He loves the church, how He died for the church, how He stuck His neck out there for us. Brethren, God the Father has placed Jesus Christ as our teacher, as our provider. He's with us day in, day out. He knows what we're going through. He knows our weaknesses. He knows when we need to be corrected. And at times it hurts. It's painful. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, here we're going to see that we are attached to Jesus Christ and we get our nourishment through Him. Let's read about it here. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Jesus Christ is talking here. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So let's stop there for a second. The Father is the vine dresser. He is the one that has established Jesus Christ as the vine. Verse 2, "Every branch in me..." Okay, so we are the branches that are attached to the vine. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes," or He cleanses, "that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." That truth that He spoke to them back then, the Holy Spirit was with them when He was present with them, but it was not in them. He said, "I have to go away so the Helper can come, so it will be in you." It was something very special that needed to occur. "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." Very tight relationship between Christ and the church, as Mr. Foster mentioned yesterday. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." We rely on Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We get our nourishment through Him. Verse 5, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's how we need Him as our teacher and our provider, to give us the nourishment that we need so that we can grow and mature as these branches. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. If we're not submitting and attached to Jesus Christ, it says we're going to die. Simple as that. We're going to die spiritually. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, my instructions, my commandments, all that I teach you, it must abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father, the vine dresser, is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Another word for disciples is students. A student that desires to be like their master. He calls us his disciples. We see here that we must rely on Jesus Christ and his teachings. We must be attached to Jesus Christ in order for us to grow and mature. Without him, we die. If we think we're going to do something on our own, off by ourselves, and just say, hey, I don't need anybody's help, we're going to die. By ourselves, without God's help, we can't grow. We can't mature, and we cannot produce fruit. The second very important thing that God gives to us to accomplish the goal for our spiritual plant to mature, ready to be harvested, God gives us His Holy Spirit as a helper. When that Holy Spirit comes in us, it's an avenue for Jesus Christ to provide nourishment from us. He uses that Holy Spirit that's within us to provide that path for all the teachings. He allows us to see, to understand, to understand the knowledge that He is teaching us, where we can put the pieces of the puzzle together. Let's go to John chapter 16, over one page in my Bible. Here we're going to see that Jesus Christ will use the Holy Spirit to teach us all His instructions. Let's read it here in John chapter 16, and beginning in verse 12. This is Jesus Christ talking. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because God's Spirit was not in them yet. They needed that helper. They needed God's Spirit to come in them, not just with them. Verse 13. However, when it, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak. In other words, Christ uses that Spirit as an avenue to teach us all the truth that the Father relayed to Christ to relay to all human beings. What did he say? He was relaying the Father's words when he walked the earth. It says, not on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak. And it will tell you things to come. In other words, it's going to provide you what you need. Verse 14. It will glorify me, in other words, it will glorify Jesus Christ, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus Christ will use this Holy Spirit to declare it to us. Christ uses the Holy Spirit to lead us, to correct us, to help us mature as a spiritual barley plant or a spiritual wheat plant, preparing for harvest. Without God's Spirit, we are not even His children, the Bible says. God's Spirit is what designates us as a child of God. It takes a calling from God the Father. It takes a commitment on our part, and He gives us His Spirit to be in us. Not with us, but in us. And it becomes an avenue for Jesus Christ to teach us. Without God's Holy Spirit, our spiritual plant cannot live on its own. We will die. At our initial calling by the Father and our commitment at baptism, God gives us this helper. The most precious thing that is within us that we have in existence, in our existence, that helper. That helper is the Holy Spirit. Once we are baptized and given that Spirit, our spiritual plant now can begin to grow. Without it, there is no growth. Christ is not teaching us through without God's Holy Spirit being in us. God's Spirit is the water that helps and leads us to grow spiritually. That helper leads us to grow and mature as a spiritual plant. That growing plant must withstand many rainstorms that beat upon us, go through many trials, heartaches, learning situations, loved ones' death. So many different trials right now God's people are going through, weighing on them. Brethren, we are in the midst of the world, but God is doing something extremely precious in each one of our lives, and we can never, ever forget it. He is helping us to mature and grow spiritually. No matter what hurts in the physical that we go through, how bad it is, we must learn. We must grow. We must mature, keeping our eyes focused on the kingdom of God, seeking it first, seeking that righteousness first. His Holy Spirit helps us to grow and mature so that we can be harvested into His family. Why? Because He loves us. He gave His only Son for all of us, all human beings, the billions of us. We're just the first fruit harvest. It's for the billions. The third major thing that God gives to us to help our spiritual plant grow to maturity, to be harvested, God gives us the church to help us. What occurred on Pentecost in 31 AD? The giving of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the church. After Jesus Christ was given as that wave sheaf offering at the beginning. The church is not an organization. It's not a building. The church is made up of human beings that God has called and given His Spirit. That's what designates us as part of this special group called the church. Some members have been called within this group to be ministers, to be teachers, to be overseers and helping. They've been given spiritual gifts to help the member, the rest of the members. Other members within the church are given spiritual gifts that they are to provide each other to help us all grow. What spiritual gift I have given, I cannot be selfish and stay at home by myself and not contact and mix and intertwine with all of you. My spiritual gift, God has designed it that you need something from me. I need something from each one of you. That's how the church is intertwined. He's developed this church to be a body. It's called Jesus Christ's body. It's a group. Each member are given spiritual gifts to provide help to the other members. Let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 12. You could describe the church in so many ways, but I would like to read here in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each human being for the profit of all." Each one in the church for the profit of all. Not just for your selfish individual. Not just for ourselves. We're to help others. Verse 8. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, through God's Holy Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Holy Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit." Down to verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Brethren, God the Father has provided us everything that we need to mature and to grow. Jesus Christ is working with us individually, day in, day out. He's using God's Spirit to lead us, to show us the way, helping us to understand, correcting us when we need corrected, which is pretty often in most cases, in my case. And He uses the church as an environment to be intertwined together to help each other. We can see that God the Father has provided us everything that we need in order to develop and to mature godly fruit. In God's eyes, not necessarily in our eyes, but in God's eyes, being prepared for harvesting. Brethren, in conclusion, it's a tremendous blessing to be taught God's plan for human beings. What the Passover means, what the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost and the fall festivals. Brethren, God has much to say in the Bible about this feast of Pentecost. He has provided all that we need in order to mature and develop as a spiritual plant. We have been called to be first fruits to God and to the Lamb. This very special holy day reminds us that we are only the first, very small amount, let's say thousands. If it's truly 144,000, it's thousands. Very small of human beings. This very special holy day, though, reminds us that we are only the first fruit harvest of many, many more human beings to come that is represented by the fall festivals. This day of Pentecost reminds us that we are to be harvested and a smaller first fruit harvest. Let's look forward to that seventh trumpet when it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive in the twinkling of an eye will be changed and be harvested into God's family, seeing Christ face to face. What a tremendous blessing that will be. Brethren, let's strive to submit to God in our individual cases. And let's be sure to acknowledge all of the help and thank God for all of the help that He has provided us. Brethren, let's desire to be a part of that first fruit harvest.